God, we thank you for being who you are. Woo, no words can really explain. Thank you for where you brought us through and from this week alone, this day alone, this hour alone. And we ask now that you continue to just show who you are in us. Thank you for a place where we can come and even see your spirit move in an even greater and a more awesome way. We thank you for the believers who are gathered. We ask now, God, that you'll mingle with us. Change our mind, turn our hearts, comfort us, convict us and convert us in Christ's name. Thank you for our pastor who has a vision, and thank you for people who want to follow the pastor. We ask now that you just do what you do in this place. I surrender now mind, body, and spirit to you in Christ's name. Amen, amen, amen. If God has done anything for you this week, just give him tell him thank you right now. God, he did some things for me. This has been one of those weeks. I have a lot of weeks, but this was one of those, not where I was, you know, going through struggling, not doing the thou shalt not, but just struggling with doing the commandment, the thou shalt, what he tell you to do. Sometimes we can get it mixed up. I guess I've been in a valley thing. I've been tearful. And as a result, I had been in and out of two or three different scriptures trying to see what the Lord wanted to share. How many of you know that when you read a scripture, that scripture is for you? You know, a lot of times we can start reading, we read and we think that God given us something to give somebody else. But the scripture, then when we come in here, what we hear and what we, is for us. The scripture is for believers. And we need to be able to take it to the unbeliever. Sometimes we might doubt what God is saying. We might not know the exact direction. I went through a case of that this week. And I shared some things with some people that are part of my family, and I thought God was saying something to someone else, and then later on he revealed to me what he was saying to me through somebody else. I can do a lot of things, but I'm not quitting. I don't know how to quit. I ain't never knew how to quit nothing. I got started, and God always had to be the one to relieve me from anything I get caught up in doing, because I can make something a habit in a minute. I've made it a habit to follow what the vision of this particular ministry in this church, and what God has called me to do in it, that's what I'm going to do. Now, we don't have a lot of time. We're going out this afternoon, so I'm going to give you something that's just free. To my pastor, I want to recognize him and thank him so much. There's just a lot of wisdom. Now, you don't have to say a lot of words. And he don't do things like I like for him to do. He really don't. But I know when God places me under someone, that's what I need to hear what he say until I can understand what God is saying in what he's saying. Something free I'm going to just put out there today. It said, that which is spirit. You do know that, don't you? It's seen in the spirit, spoken in the spirit, heard in the spirit, understood in the spirit, done in the spirit, believed in the spirit, confirmed in the spirit, known in the spirit, shared in the spirit, kept in the spirit, and it's accomplished in the spirit. That which is spirit is spirit. And that which is flesh. You can't mix the two. That ain't got nothing to do with our sermon this morning. Turn with me to the book of Jonah. You ought to be already familiar with that from this morning's Sunday school. God don't make no mistakes. I was preparing to share this part. This was one of the scriptures I was using 2 weeks ago. And then I studied the Sunday school lesson this week, and that's where it was again. So, Jonah, chapter 3, verse 10 through chapter 4, verse 5. Well, chapter 4, verse 4. That's where the end that I told her the wrong scripture. Okay. Chapter 10, 3, verse 10 reads, "When God saw thy deeds, that they turned from thy wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them. And he did not do it." Chapter 4, verse 1 starts, "But it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, 'Please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. Therefore, now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life.' And the Lord said, 'Do you have good reason to be angry?'" We want to use that for ourselves. Do you have good reason to be angry? It's all right to be angry. The scripture says, "Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your anger." Jesus himself was angry with them when he came into that temple and what they were doing. So you can be angry. But do you have good reason to be angry? When I was last here, I think we shared about Jonah, about how God preserved Jonah for his purpose. And that's what we were talking about in our Sunday school. God does things for us through his love for us. He loves us so much that all he wants to do is be able to have fellowship with us on a permanent, continued, 24/7, 365 basis. That's what he wants to do. Just fellowship with us. I have no idea why. I got a small one, but it don't matter. He just wants to do it. I don't know why he chose man, because we, you know, the trees are blooming, the flowers blooming, blossom when they supposed to, water run, when it's supposed to, the sun come up, when it's supposed to, the moon come out. But we don't want to do what he said. Right. We're different. Last time we were talking about Jonah, you know, God had told him to go to Nineveh. God sent him on a journey. And Jonah didn't want to go. Now, that was the reason that he didn't want to go. He didn't want to go because these people were his mortal enemies. They had done things to the children of Israel. So he didn't want to go over there and take no message to them. How many of you got friends that, well, they ain't your friends. How many of you got people that your mortal enemies that you don't want God to do nothing for? God, I pray God just don't let him make no money. Don't let him get away with doing what he's doing. And sometimes we can be praying some good, righteous prayers for people. God, stop him from using drugs. Stop her from lying and backbiting. How many of you know God ain't going to make you stop doing nothing that you want to do? And you ain't going to stop until you get ready to stop. And sometimes you have to get to a point like Jonah did before you have an idea about even wanting to do it. And we come to church. We get into the... Jonah was told to go and do something. He was already a child of God. He was an Israelite, one of God's chosen. So he already knew. He knew God. And he didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go take a saving message to the people who didn't know nothing about this God. He didn't want to do that. So rather than go, he caught this boat, and, you know, he went down in the bottom of the boat after he got there. And he called these other people all kind of problems because he went and, you know, he went down there and went to sleep. Some of us, when we get comfortable, we'll go to sleep when we think that we already did. We done conned God, or we done got away from God. We don't want to hear what he want us to do no more. We'll go somewhere and go to sleep. You come in here and go to sleep. suck up all the air. I ain't going nowhere else. Oh, but we got some, you didn't know it was going to happen, but we finna start evangelizing around here. So you're going to have to get up out of these pews. We come in here and get it and take it out. But anyway, after Jonah got there, and then they called these other folk all these problems, they came down there, you know, they cast lots. They were rolling the dice to see who was causing these problems. You know, even unbelievers sometimes can be got a belief in some kind of God. They believe in some kind of God. It might not be the one we know, but they believe in something and somebody. So they did, and they knew that they had been making this trip all the time. Had nothing like this happened to them before. It was a regular trip for them. So they knew it must have been, they done checked each other to see if, you know, maybe they talked to their God. Their God didn't have no answer, so they come talking to Jonah. Jonah told them who he was and that he was running from the Lord. Well, he witnessed to him. You know, that's what he really did. And after he witnessed to him, he told, they would say, well, okay, what can we do to, you know, to stop the Jonah? Said, throw me overboard. Catch it. They didn't just hurriedly throw him over. They said, Lord, they went to talking to this Lord that Jonah told them about. And they didn't want to just end Jonah's life. But anyway, Jonah said, throw me over. So how many of you rather just die than to forgive somebody or die than to take somebody or save and mess it? You'll stay at home. Because you don't know whatever sickness or disease or illness you got, God will move it if you go out to do what he done told you to do. He'll move it out the way if you get up. But you won't get up because I'm hurting too bad to go. I come to church on Sunday. I sit in my seat on Sunday, but I ain't going up on Martin Luther King. I ain't going up under that tree or over to that motel and tell them nothing. Especially, we said something in Sunday school this morning, especially if they've done something detrimental to somebody in my family. If you done hurt my feelings, you can hurt other people's feelings, but don't hurt my feelings. You wanna see how Christ-like I am? Do something to step on my toe. That's what he was. Jonah, they told Jonah, said, just throw me on down there. So he wanted to die. He wasn't finna go do with God. We can be determined to self-destruct because we don't want to do what God wants us to do. Even though he done bought us out of the most detrimental thing that it could be. He saved our lives. Not only did he save our lives, he saved our soul. He gave us a reason to live. Because a lot of us was like Jonah. We were ready to give up. Throw me all overboard. He could have said a whole lot of things. Now, God didn't even kill him while he was going down there. God let him get all the way to the bottom. Some of us got to get to where we need to be before we can have to look up and see that, you know, there's something to change our mind. Because, you know, we'll hold on to what we're doing until we can't do it no more. 70, 80, 90 years old and we can't do it no more. Sometimes we have to go through enough physical pain and physical stress, hospitalization, losses, and grief before we have to give up what we do. And God ain't going to take it away from us. God ain't going to take nothing that you won't give to him and let him keep. And he's not going to make you stop doing nothing. Amen, lights and walls. But he ain't going to make you. God wants us, the only thing God does, he tries to love us to it. And we got to love. We got to accept the love enough to quit doing it. Then after Jonah was down in that bottom, he got down there. He thought he was still getting away from God. Got down to the bottom of the sea, and then God had something down there waiting on him. They said it was a big fish. I'm going to say it was a whale or something, or some kind of big mammal fish, because it had to be something that could preserve him, that had to take in oxygen, and the heat had to be warm enough to keep him alive. You can't run from God. I don't care how low you go. You can't get too high for him to reach him. You can't get too wide for him to get to you. God always has. God never wants to do anything other than have fellowship with man. That's his original prayer. When in the garden, that's all he started out doing. He just wanted to have fellowship with Adam. That's what he wanted. I don't know about all them other folk that came after Adam did what he did. But God wants to have, his purpose is the same. He yet wants to have fellowship with man. So Jonah down there, and he thinks that he done got away from God. Here come this fish, swallowing him up. In now, 3 days, 3 nights, in a fish, cold, probably scared to death now. I tell you what, God will allow you to get in some situation where you'll have a change of heart. He ain't going to make you do nothing, but he'll make you want to change your mind. He'll allow your situation to get to the point to where you can be so hopeless and helpless that you'll change your heart and your thoughts about doing something. Jonah stayed, but it took three whole nights. I don't think it took me that long, but who am I to say? I did what I did for years. And some of y'all did too, and some of y'all ain't even stopped doing some of what you were doing because you don't consider it to be as bad. Ain't no different than what he told Jonah to do than what he told you to do, and you haven't did it either. Amen, amen. Anyway, Jonah got in there and the fish kept him alive. God was still, Jonah somehow had a new revelation. He had a revelation. Situations will make you change your mind. You can see something in the spirit when you get in some places where your physical, you can't physically get out of it. He couldn't call nobody to help him. He couldn't get on the text nobody to help him. He didn't know what to do to even get out of the mouth or the belly of the fish. He couldn't see how to get no help. But he said something to someone who could. He talked to God. And as a result, we said a fish spewed him up. But you know, that big old fish like that couldn't have got that close to the bank. So he might have been way out there and God spit him out a long way. It wasn't the fact that the fish spit him out. It was the fact that Jonah agreed to do what God wanted him to do. You don't get too old to do what God wants you to do. You don't get in a situation that's too low for God to do what God wants you to do. It ain't never too late to do what God wants you to do. If you're sucking up air, you can do what God wants you to do. If you're rolling in a chair, you can do what God wants you to do. If you're laying flat on your back, you can do what God wants you to do. Jonah got up on the bank. His mind was changed. Now he was ready to go tell him something. He was going to tell him something. Yeah, God, I'm ready now to go to Nineveh. I'm ready, and I don't think he didn't have to rehearse which sermon he was going to preach. He knew he was going to tell exactly what God said because he had enough time to think about it. Some of you have been here long enough to have time to think about what God done told you to do, and you still haven't done it. And then it said that after that, this gets us to our text. It said, but it greatly displeased Jonah. That's verse 1. And when it displeased him, he became what? Angry. We're going to say, so you know, we said black folk, you said he got mad. After God had done healed these people. That's why I want you to think about somebody you've been holding a resentment against or you won't forgive for 20 years. God then told you to go back and make an amends to this person. 20 years ago, he told you to do it, and you haven't made it there yet. Didn't take Jonah but 3 days. And then when he got started to making the amends, it was a three-day journey. He got there in a day. And he told them folks what God said. And after he told them what God said, things began to change. The people accepted what God had said, and Jonah knew it. And so that's when Jonah got angry. How many of you are angry because of what God has done after you've done what he told you to do? How many of you are angry that you don't like going to the club no more? How many of you are angry that you don't like the taste of the liquor no more? How many of you are angry because you can't even move your feet fast enough to dance no more? How many of you are angry because, you know, instead of being the player, you the mark now. you know, they say you the mark. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We used to sit up one and somebody, you know, we were going to beat that now. So you the mark. You ain't the one that's doing the playing no more. You ain't the Mac, you the sugar daddy. Amen. And that's what happened with us sometimes. So Jonah was angry because God had did what God do. When the people accepted the word, the people changed. I mean, not just the king, but even the people and the animals. Now, we might get, we'll help our animals to do something different, but we ain't finna go help our cousin. Not the one that beat us out of $2 20 years ago. We ain't gonna do nothing for him. I don't even want him at the house. I don't fool with him no more. God been telling you forever, go apologize, because I got something for you to tell him. He just wasn't ready when you first went. These people were ready, or maybe they wasn't. Maybe they had to get ready while Jonah was in the belly of the fish, or while he was down in the bottom of that sea, or maybe when he was at the bottom of the boat. God was preparing something else. While he been having you sitting in West Union all this time, he been getting them people ready to receive you, because we finna go out there. Amen. And if you can't go, you can pray that the ones who do go will have be affected. Now here's what Jonah did. In that verse he said, Jonah became angry. He prayed. He prayed. Now you he prayed and said, please, Lord. Was this not what I said was gonna happen? Let God supposed to care about what you said gonna happen. Like God needs your approval to do anything. But Jonah said, I knew this before I went. So now, God, I knew you were going to be, the one thing that he knew that God was gracious, but the one he said he would relent, that God would change his mind. You know, we said God won't change his mind. We said, don't ask God why. Why not? Ask him why. You don't, sometimes we don't know what we're doing things, but I need to ask somebody something if I ain't read it. And sometimes if the Spirit is here, but anyway, Jonah was there, and Jonah was angry because God had forgiven these people and had changed his mind and had healed the whole land. Now here's what he did in that other. He said, so Jonah still didn't really want to just continue to do what God, because the lesson wasn't really just for Jonah to go take a message to Nineveh. The message is always for us. It's always, the message that you have is first to the person that's bringing the message. Always remember, your message that you got is for you first. If you don't digest it, ain't nobody else going to digest it. So Jonah told him, to just let me die now. He said, let me die now. Let me, Jonah said, therefore in verse 3, now, Lord, please take my life from me. God won't take nothing that you don't really give to him. Jonah didn't really want to die. He just he wasn't happy with what God had done. How many of y'all ain't happy with what God done did? He didn't do it right. He didn't come quick enough. He paid part of that rent for you, but he didn't pay it all. He gave you a new suit to wear, but he didn't give you them shoes to go with the suit. Gave you a good job. Gave you a job. But you don't make enough on the job. Sometimes because God don't do things the way we want him to do it, and he never is going to do them the way we want him to do it, because God's God all by itself. We don't even understand. We ain't got no idea what God's thinking about. He's thinking 20 years ahead of what we think. If it's thinking ahead till tomorrow, that's more than what some of us do. We don't consider nobody but ourselves. God thinks about the whole situation. So he saved all them people. We're going to get to that. And one thing when he said that you relent of calamity. Y'all know a calamity is an event that causes what? Great harm or loss. So and all the harm or loss thing all the time got to be physical. The calamity was with the people over there in Nineveh, but that they didn't know nothing about God. So they're going to lose their soul. And so now Jonah's mad. He mad about what God did. I think that was one of them. Then he said, Jonah went out from, he said, we want to answer three questions. Why are you angry? Angry because God did what God do. That's what we just got. Now we want to cover, where are you angry? That was, why are you angry? We want to cover, where are you angry? You know, I don't care where you go. If you're angry about something, you're going to be angry if you leave town. Sometimes we'll move away from the city because I'm mad at my folks. A lot of us move from, we leave town when we get old enough because we don't want to keep coming to church no more. And my mom and dad are going to make me go to church. So I'm going to go somewhere where I won't have to go. We'll move. But guess what? If you're angry about coming to church in Bryan, Texas, you're going to be angry about going if you go to Chicago. Because I take the anger with me. The anger ain't about what's happening out. Whatever's going on outside of you, it ain't about what's happening out there. It's about how you receiving it or not receiving it in here. He told Jonah, he went from the sea. That's one place. Where are you going to do it? You're going to be angry wherever you go, and let me hurry up and get through. And then the last part we want to get to is when will your anger end? That's in verse 9. Look at what it said in verse 9. Then God said to Jonah, do you have good reason to be angry about the plant? Jonah was sitting out there, Jonah sit out there after he got angry. God still didn't kill him when he asked him. He done asked him more than one time to take his life. Told him to take it when he dumped him overside the ship. God didn't do it. When he went to the bottom of the sea, God didn't take his life. If you got a purpose, you gonna complete it. Especially if you know God, if you've accepted Christ, you might have to do it. The last thing you might do, you might just have to raise up one finger off of that deathbed. And the deathbed ain't bad either. That's graduation of glory. Anyway, but Jonah was there. He said he had made this shelter to go over him while he was sitting out there after God had done. He was so angry that he just made a shelter. He wanted to sit there. You ever been so angry that you wouldn't do nothing else, or you were going to punish the folk that made you angry by not doing nothing for yourself? He wouldn't even go back home now because he was angry about what God had done. Some of us are the same way. I'll fix him. I ain't going to go pay my rent. Who's going to be out those if you don't pay your rent? I'm going to fix him. I ain't going to the doctor. I ain't gonna put no gas in the car. He should have put it in the car. Who gonna run out of the gas if you don't put it in? We will do things. We can get angry, and we take it out. We hurt ourselves because we're angry at somebody else. So anger, a resentment is what they told me something. A resentment is misdirected anger. I get mad at you for something that I have a responsibility in doing, or something that I had a part in doing. Usually when I get angry about it, I could have avoided it, especially if I'm a child of God. All Jonah had to do was do what God told him to do in the beginning. All of this would have been avoided. But anyway, he was on it. So God called them. He called this tree to grow up out there. While Jonah made a shelter. We always, when we get mad at God, we go and do it ourselves. We get mad at somebody else. We'll go fix it ourselves. I don't need you to do it. Oh, here we go. You don't want to buy me something, I'll get somebody who will. Women. y'all, we all right. We're going to be all right still. But if the man you got don't do it, I'll find somebody else who will. Me and y'all better do it, though. But I'll find some. If God don't do it the way we want it done, we'll do it our own way. He done built this shelter and this sun out there. Wasn't enough to cover him. So God always has our best interest at heart, in spite of it. He hadn't forgot. Jonah hadn't forgot where he came from. He forgot that his way of doing things didn't work. When he went down and went to sleep in the boat, when he went down to the bottom of the sea, he forgot that his way didn't do it. He still had to go to Nineveh. Some of you got to get to the, you've been doing it your way for so long. This is the way we've been doing it. Well, the way you've been doing it going to keep you on the bottom of the sea. You ain't going to never get to Nineveh, stand in the same place. You just won't do it. It ain't going to happen. I can say that, Pastor. Okay, I can say that. Yeah, Pastor said, I can say that. He said, I can say that. That was in the book. You ain't going to do it. So anyway, Jonah was sitting down there under this tree, and God made this tree to come up to, and it provided some shade for him. God always covers us in spite of what we do. Amen. We ain't going to never be without what we need. My needs are always met. My needs are always met. My wants gets me in trouble. My wants is what I get me in trouble. It'll make me stop doing what God wants me to do. My needs, I want to appreciate the need that he done provided, because he give me a house and I want a mansion. He'll give me a Chevrolet and I want a Cadillac. Anyway, then God let the tree grow. And after he let it grow, here come this worm. God always got some. God, the calamity didn't cause great, caused some great harm or damage. That's what a calamity is. And so Jonah is under this tree now, and he got God to provide it for him. That was better than what he didn't even say thank you, God. Some of us ain't thankful for what he do for us in spite. God, we still mad. We ain't just angry, we mad. You know, because we go past being angry and upset. We go to rage, you know, and we do stuff that going to cause total detriment. So he was sitting there, and then God said, okay, he didn't get grateful for that. Let me let this worm destroy this tree. Oh, when it gets close to us and get close to home, we get okay then. But here's what happened. The worm came and destroyed the tree. And so Jonah ain't got no more shade now, because after the tree grew, he probably took that shelter down. Because now he's back out there in the heat and the sun. But he didn't move, because he's still mad, because God saved these people. He's still mad because God had saved these people in Nineveh. So he sit there a little while longer, and guess what he said again? He asked God to take his life again. And here's what God said. Now this is where we're going to close. He said, your anger will end. Your anger go in. You're going to have it wherever you go. I don't care. You can't run from it. You got to deal with it. God ain't gave us no armor for the backside. Everything is to face something. We got to always face what's in front of us and trust that God can handle it, because I can't handle it. You can't either. But if you're doing what God wants you to do, it's already taken care of. You just have to walk in the path that's already been taken care of. From. So he told him, and said, but the next day God appointed a worm to attack the tree day and to attack the plant and the wither. When the sun came up, God appointed a scorching east wind. He got some ways of getting your attention. And the sun beat down on Jonah's head, so that he became faint and begged with all his soul to die, saying, death is better than life. Ain't but one who chooses when time to die come. You gotta get, if you can't get some, you get okay with death, you ain't gonna have no reason to live no way. I gotta be okay that death is the only way I'm gonna get to heaven. Ain't no other way you're gonna do it. You gotta die to these things here. Everybody wanna go to, but don't nobody wanna die. And we gotta die. But Jonah wanted to die. He didn't want to die because to go to heaven. He wanted to die because of what God had done. Now God then took the worm away from him. God said in verse 9, says, then God said to Jonah, do you have, second time, good reason to be angry about the plant? He didn't call, the plant wasn't there when he went there. The tree didn't grow. He didn't make it grow. He didn't water it or do nothing. He just got under the shade and was soaking it up. Some of us here, we wasn't here when West Union started. Thank y'all, the ones that were here. Thank you for staying through it. And now you come in and you want to put a dollar in the, I ain't going to say too much about that. You put a dollar in the offering basket or some change in the offering basket, and yet we're going to keep the church. It's already in a bit. Ain't the church paid for? Okay. We got to, but see what you got, we need to keep giving for the other real purpose. We got to get out of here. It costs something to do some things. It costs something to do some things. Like them shoes, you ain't going to get no dollar pair of shoes. You ain't going to buy no dollar suit. You don't even go to the dollar store to get your clothes. You going somewhere else and get your clothes. So we need to be, oh, amen. Leave that alone. Then the Lord said, you had compassion on the plant for which you did not work. He had compassion because they were doing something for him. We care about people that do something for us. God is calling us to do something for people that ain't did nothing for. In fact, they may have done something to us. That's what had happened. God, the people in Nineveh had done something to Jonah and his folk. And we don't want to help people who do something to us. We want to help them that do something for us or with us. And so God told him that. Then the Lord said, you are about the plant for which you had no, which you did not cause to grow, and which came up overnight and perished overnight. God was showing him then. He was telling him, he said, Jonah, He said, where were you when I called this plant to grow? You remember he told Job some stuff too. Where were you when I hung the stars in the sky? Where were you when I called the sun to come up? Well, hey, where were you at this morning when God called the sun to come up? When he called you to start sucking in air this morning? Where were you when God was doing all of that? But we still be angry. We'll be angry because somebody didn't come pick us up on time or didn't wake us up. They should have called to wake me up. Now you need to get up. Right. You didn't cause nothing to start in the beginning. And I want to close with this. You may think you have a right to be angry, and you might have a right to be angry. Because it told you, as I said, in Ephesians 4 and in Ephesians 4 and 26, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. There's a reason for telling you when not to let it. Because if I let it go down today on my anger, it's going to increase tomorrow because you're going to do something else. Now, yes, I'm going to thank of something else for that you did before. I need to be able to forgive and go let somebody know. See, Jonah still ain't wanted to go back and tell them. He didn't go and rejoice with them folk in Nineveh, no kind of way. You let somebody come in here that did something to you out on them streets, and they come in here and join this church, and the pastor talking about take an offering for them. You might have a reason to be angry. Romans said, God said, never take your own vengeance. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord. He said, I will repay. So you might have a reason to be angry. Maybe you have a reason to be angry. What he or she said about you. You may have a reason to be angry. What was taken from you or what was did to you. You might have a reason to be angry. What was not given to you. You may have a reason to be angry. They overlook you for that promotion that you know you've been working and well deserved. You might have a reason to be angry. They didn't give you that raise that you've been working for 3 years with the same pay. You might have a reason to be angry. He or she didn't say, I love you. Now, you might have a reason to be angry. He forgot your birthday. Oh, you might have a reason to be angry. He forgot the anniversary, both of y'all's anniversary. Oh, you got a good reason to be angry now. You might have a reason to be angry. He or she didn't come home till late last night, if he or she came home at all. You might have a reason to be angry. You might have a reason to be angry. But do you have a good reason to be angry? Do you have a good reason to be angry? You were able to hear what they said when they were talking about you. Do you have a good reason to be angry? You were able to see what they did to you. Do you have a real good reason to be angry? You were able to know, you knew what was taken from you when they took it away from you. Do you have a good reason to be angry? You were able to work for the raise that you were so entitled to. Now, do you have a good reason to be angry? You stayed on the job long enough to earn the promotion that they didn't give you. Do you have a good reason to be angry? You had feelings when he or she didn't say, I love you. Do you have a good reason to be angry? You were alive to celebrate a birthday. Do you have a good reason to be angry? A good reason. You had a marriage that lasted long enough for it to be an anniversary. Do you have a good reason to be angry? You had a home for he or she to come to even though they didn't come. Do you have a good reason to be angry? Do you have a good reason to be angry? We got a lot of reasons to do things we do, but God said it ought to be a good reason. Now, when will we stop being angry? when we stop trying to play God. And when I start accepting what God had done for me in spite of what I didn't do that he told me to do.